find out how he negotiated, how he operated. Well, then started to change it up. We became outlaws. By ownership.
A lot of you, yeah.
We were the bad guys. All of a sudden, guys started getting traded, player reps especially. I don't know what the turnover of player reps was between 1966 and 1972, but it had to be
more than half.
It had to be astronomical.
Yeah.
More than 50%.
I think that's the figure I came up with. I forget
there,
exactly.
The only reason it was that way is because they were player reps and they were union.
Yeah,
that's the reason they got traded.
Let's talk a little bit about the real fiasco in Cincinnati, Bobby Kennedy's funeral.
Yeah, another one of my great exploits. Yeah. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. So a director came from the commissioner's office. At that time was General
Eckert. Yeah, another known soldier.
Another one of the owner's great moves. In honor of Robert Kennedy, Eckert said on director that no game was to start until after his body reached Washington, D.C. Bill out, black and white, from the commissioner's office. Something happened during a procession. I guess the body, more people were coming out to see the body as it was coming from, I believe, New York to Washington by train. They were slowing down. We were playing the St. Louis Cardinals, and it was a Saturday night game, a complete sellout. And all of a sudden, Dave Bristol, the manager, came up and said, look at it. He said, we got a problem. He says, you know, we can't play this game until we can't start this game until the body gets to Washington. He says, but, yeah, they may not be there until 11 o'clock at night. What the hell do you want me to do? I said, there's a thing from the commissioner's office. In honor of the guy, we're not supposed to start until the body gets to Washington. He said, I think we should play. I said, who are you? Are you General Eckert? You're Dave Bristol, the manager. He said, well, I think we should play for the fans. I said, Dave, let's stop the bullshit. Let's forget the fans for a second. Everybody wants to play. I said, we have a directive and a communicate from the commissioner's office and we're not to start the game in honor of a man being killed. As far as I'm concerned, that's exactly what we're going to do. He said, let's take a vote. I said, take a vote of what? Take a vote of the players. What the hell are you saying? I said, we have a communicate from the commissioner, who is the ultimate of baseball, saying we can't start until the body. Now you want me to take a vote to see if our players want to play? I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, you get General Eckert to send me a communicate saying it's fine for me to take a vote to see if you want to play. I said, I'll do it. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, well, I think you should. I said, fine. Okay. So the meeting. Well, it was like 14 to 11 or 15 to 10 not to play. Okay, I'm going to talk to the umpires, I'm going to talk to the Cardinals, tell them what our vote was. So I go down to the umpires room, the mill, hey, as long as nobody goes on the field, it's fine with us. Go to the Cardinal dressing room, talk to the Cardinals, and said the same thing. As long as you guys don't take the field, you'll do whatever you want. Fine, that's great. As I'm coming up to the clubhouse, Tom Hausman's in there, talking to the player. Right. I said, wait a minute. You come here. Hausman said, me? I said, yeah, come here. So what the hell are you doing? So I'm talking to players, they should play. I said, who the hell are you? Come in here. after we just took a vote, these guys are, who the hell are you coming in and tell these players and threaten the players? Fines, salary, I said, wait a minute, Mr. House, Bob, I said, get your ass out of this club. I have every right to be here. I said, well, you can stay here all you want. Don't talk to these players about playing the game. You're way off base. We took a vote, we're not playing. So I think we should take another vote. I said, no. Get your ass out of here. And don't, if you threaten these guys, I'll file a grievance against your ass, too. Don't you come in here and threaten the ball players. They're not going to play. They're going to get doctored. They're paid. I said, if I hear another word out of that, I said, I have Marvin Miller on the telephone. I said, just get out. I walk him outside and Dave Bristol goes back and starts talking to the guys in here.
Taxi.
Jeez. What are you doing?
I think we should press it. We just had the damn meeting.
The guy's court. We'll take another vote.
For what?
I said, well, this is right in front of the guys. I threatened housing. Don't you dare threaten these guys with lack of pay or anything else. Because you're 100% wrong. Unless I hear from the commissioner, there's not a damn thing housing to do to any of them. Why another vote? Just like an hour later. All right, take another vote. Same vote. Same result. Okay. So I'm going down to talk to the umpires and Cardinals again. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Downstairs, Dick Wagner, who was housing the assistant, walks up. And he goes, he points his finger at me and he goes, now, I said, you better take your finger off my shirt. I'll bust your fucking arm. Don't you ever touch me again. Don't you ever talk to me again. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. Who the hell are you to come up and start pointing your finger at me? I said, all you are is just a goddamn no good boy. I forget what I call him. Puppy dog for housing. You going to threaten me? I said, touch me, I'll break your fucking arm. And boy, he started pissing. One more time, I said, I'm a bust. Get out of my sight. He backed off and left. Oh, God, I couldn't. I was so mad I couldn't see this. He's threatening me. You know, who the hell is he? He's a flunky. Go back to the umpire, talk the same thing. They said, fine. Go back to the Cardinals. They say, fine. So about 15 minutes went by. I walked back to the clubhouse. I see some of the guys coming down the stairs, dressed, uniform. What are you guys doing? We're going to play. I said, you guys are going to play. After all the shit I just went through for you guys. And look, I said, you guys are making me look like a complete jackass. Well, we decided we wanted to play. I said, why? Well, Bristol came in. Bristol came back again after I asked him. So they decided they wanted to play. I said, well, you know what? You don't need me. You guys need a psychiatrist. But quit. I told them to go to hell. And I called Bob Housing. And I told him, playing on the phone, I said, what you did was the bushes. Cheapest, theatrical bullshit trick I've ever seen. I said, you're really a horse shit. 2 days later, I got traded here.
And glad of it.
He was a real... But he was a real nothing. You know, his big smile and his phony smile. Phony is a $3 bill.
Oh, a similar thing happened down in Houston with the team voting not to play and Speck Richardson coming in and threatening them.
Again, you think?
Yeah. Same thing happened there. And Rusty Staub and asked for money, flat out refused after everybody else got coerced into playing. They flat out refused and got fined for it. And after the season, I don't think they ever had to pay the fines, but they got publicly announced that they were fined for it. And after the season, they were both traded, and Dave Justy, the player rep, was traded also. Really, a very similar thing happened now.
The next day, that's all this came on the paper, you know, about the meetings and so on and so forth. The next day, I relieved. You talk about the biggest round of food. I mean, I got booed by, I think there were, I don't know what Crosley Field held in, 32,000 or whatever, but I got booed by every single one of them. Because I held up the game the night before. It was my fault.
Sure.
Of course, the press was already on my ass anyway about the first class. So, but after that talk I had with Howard, I knew I wasn't going to be there much longer anyway. 2 days later, I got traded.
That was just an indirect way of requesting a trade, wasn't it?
Yeah, at that point, yeah. And then I got to Atlanta, and basically, I got along pretty good there. So Donald Davidson was the traveling secretary, and we had some situations there, but not near nothing like Cincinnati. And Hank Aaron used to ask me about a few things. I said, Hank, I said, for Christ's sake, I said, you got a much bigger name than I do. I said, why don't you go upstairs and argue? Well, I couldn't do that. I said, are you afraid of your job? I said, what the hell are you afraid of? They're not going to get rid of Hank Aaron because they'll get rid of me before you.
They got rid of Joe Torre. Mm-hmm. Spring training of 69 because of his... Players Association.
I guess we got the right after that. I
did. Did you get drafted for it?
I got drafted for it.
So, no, you've had so much success as a player. Yeah. I'll try it again.
Then I got to Chicago, and I said, my God, finally, peace, calm, quiet, no more player rep. Just settle down, play baseball, have a good time. I get a call from John Howard, general manager. Can you come up to my office? A couple weeks ago, they asked me to be the player rep. The players drafted me. I said, no. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to hear about it. Absolutely not. Forget it. No. No. 2 weeks later, I get a call from John Allen. Can you come in at my office after the game? I said, sure. What happened? Go upstairs and sit down. Want a drink? I said, no. I'm fine. Coke or something. He said, I got a favor to have. Well, you need tickets for tomorrow's game or what? So, you know the player role job? And I said, huh? He said, I wish you'd do me a big favor. I said, what? He said, take the job. I said, a general manager is asking me, the Maverick, to take the job as player. I said, John, you have to be kidding. Why? He says, you know, you're very bright, you're very intelligent. What you've done so far, being a player rep, is only protecting the player's rights, which is all well that the job should be done. I said, then why have I gotten so much shit doing it? He said, well, unfortunately, some of the other people don't view it the same way. He said, but there's a chance here that there may be a kid taking the job as player, because nobody wants it. He said, and this kid will be in my office every day. Smaller things will come up, and he'll be in here. He says, I know that the only time I'll ever see you, something major happens, because I know you'll take care of it in the clubhouse before it even gets to my level. I said, at least somebody appreciates my talent. Why didn't anybody else tell me this? He said, well, he said, the game's changing. I said, Christ's sake, I hope so. He said, would you take the job? And I just couldn't believe my ears that a general manager was asking me to be player rep after all the shit I went through the past 8 years or 9 years. And I said, yeah, I'll take it. And I did. And I think I saw John one time the 2 years that I had the job.
And that was when Durocher was running.
Durocher was manager.
He hated Miller and the players.
Well, our first strike was when I was with the club, and Durocher was the manager. And I went to Dallas. Came back and held a team meeting, and Durocher says, you can use my suite. And, fine, thank you, appreciate that. We had all the guys together, and I said, guys, we're on strike. Let's go home. And that was the first strike ever in baseball.
Now,
see, Marvin didn't want a strike. Marvin was against the strike. I'm the guy that get up. He said, look, we're getting absolutely nowhere fast. They're shitting all over us. That's strike. I was so vocal in front of them. I said, let's do it now. Get it and show them that we are who we are, what we want to do. That was the first strike that was ever in baseball.
One of the few times you weren't a player rep was in the winter of 68-69 when the holdout and boycott was organized, right? That was in between your gigs as a
player, yeah.
That was really the first 60, time.
Yeah, 60. I got 68. Is what I just, yeah, I got right in the middle of 68.
Right, Torrey was the ref there.
Right.
And that was really the first time that Miller asked the players to act as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tough thing, that boy.
Tough thing. We had a lot of guys that didn't want to do it. A lot of guys were opposed to it. And I'm sure even today, there's a hell of a lot more at stake today, money-wise, than there was back when I played, but it's still a principle of the situation. But, God, we took a strike vote, and we voted 25-0. P.K. Ridley had a heart attack.
Over 72, yeah.
Oh, I mean, this guy just went off the wall. You don't have to wait out, Chima. And I tried to explain to him that it was nothing against you. I mean, we love you. You know, we think you're a great guy. This has got nothing to do with you. I mean, he took it to heart.
Yeah. Well, in the 69 boycott, there were probably more Cubs who
voted against,
who were ready, who drifted into camp because Wrigley treated them pretty well.
And well, the Cubs were really the Mavericks about then. They, anytime there was anything to do with a strike or a boycott, the Cubs were one of the teams that voted no because of Mr. Wrigley. It was very fair, very good to everybody. But this time in 72, we had no choice.
Now, in Atlanta, of course, you were back with Paul Richards.
Right.
He was also dead against Miller.
Paul was very, I noticed that with Paul, because Paul and I, Paul was my mentor. Paul, everything I owed to the game of baseball, I owed to Paul Richards. He was the guy that did it for me. He started me. He matured me, he nurtured me, and gave me a break at the age of 18 to play in the major leagues, and I owe everything to Paul Richards. And when I got to Atlanta, I noticed a marked difference when I became a player right there, as far as his friendliness towards me, a change.
Hey, hold on just a second. I know we only have a few more minutes. Distracting you from your job, and it was thankless.
I mean, you couldn't win by either side. I mean, the players wanted everything, the owners wanted everything, and you try to be the guy in between, no matter what you did. Like being president of the United States, you know, you're sitting on the fence, no matter which way you go. And the thing I stressed with the athletes and the baseball players back then was the pension plan. They never listened to me. All they wanted to know is how much new money we're going to get. Can I have a single room on the road? All the small little fiddly things. And my stress always back then was, guys, you got to listen to me about the pension plan. Because one day, you're 20 years old now, but 30 years from now, you're going to think about a pension plan. You're going to say, I wish I would have listened to him.
That was Miller. Miller really got focused on that, too.
I mean, these guys could care less about the pension plan. So this is
straight up here if you want to make a break for it.
I said, this is more important than your salary or anything else. It's the pension plan at that time.
Let's see, I got it.
Thank you.
one of the furthest things from their mind. I mean, they weren't listening to me when it came to me trying to talk some sense to these guys about what it means to be 30 years down the road. And, you know, they're trying to take the equation away from the national coverage and rating contract. They're trying to away from the national. You guys got to listen.
Yeah.
Very, very important to your future.
Really, in retrospect, that's where the major gains were made in the.
That's where it all existed. That's where all existed. Right there.
How much meal money? How much can we? How much percentage can we get cut?
I talked to Dick Powell the other day, and he said, given the selfish nature of players, it's amazing that something's been done retroactively.
I don't understand these guys today. I mean, these guys ought to get down on their goddamn knees and thank us for what the hell we did for them. When it comes to the pension plan, we're like the stepchildren. I mean, don't they understand what the hell was done for them? What we sacrificed, what we did, the paltry amount of money that we made when we were playing, the crap that we had to go through to where they are now, that the owners bow down and kiss the ground that they walk on because of all the money that these guys are making today and the owners are giving it to them. Where did that come from? It came from us. And we ask about retroactivity on pension plans, like they don't give a shit. And we don't have no voice in it. That's the sad part. We have absolutely no voice in it. We can't voice it. We can't say nothing to these guys. The guy that's up for is Mark Belanger, who once was a ball player.
If anybody left to the house,
stay down the stop sign. The guy who should be in our corner fighting for us is, you know, a guy like Mark Belanger.
Yeah. Well, is he still rolling?
Well, not still rolling, but you know, you call and ask him questions. It's like, like pulling teeth. Hey, Mark, don't bullshit me. You know, I said you were a ball player once, my friend. This affects you too. Well, tell literally one to keep his mouth shut. I said I ain't gonna tell anybody do anything. Be quiet. Watch the voice in the pen. He's gonna be goddamn right. The voice in the pen. Now, these guys busted their ass to start this pension plan back in there. Yes. Back in the 40s, and nobody will even talk to us. Well, guys that play, they're getting $100 a month pension. You know, that's ridiculous. Well, so you guys ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, I told them. You got so damn much money in here, for Christ's sake. Give it to the guys who played the game before. The guys today don't need it.
Right.
If they can't retire after making $30 million, for Christ's sake, and you know, if they can't set themselves up, what about us? I said, we played at a time where the minimum salary was $4,000 a year. Today it's $100,000. The pension is up to $100,000 a year.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
Westing has gone from 20 years down to 1 day, from 5 years down to 1 day. 1 day vesting today. One day.
That was one of the big provisions in 69, was to get it from 5 to 4.
4. 1 day. The maximum used to be 20 years. It's now down to 10.
Yeah.
20. Yeah. To get the maximum out of the maximum benefits out of the pension plan, you got to have 20 years in major league. Today is 10. With 1 day vesting. What the hell did all this shit? They did.
More than.
Yeah. God, that guy is so screwed. I just love being in meetings with him. I love the way he conducted it. I love the way he just threw it. He knew when to throw the knife in. He knew when to take it out. And he knew who to throw it at. Whether it was rusty or clean. I mean, he knew the players. He read the players. He knew who he could go after. He could get the best of it. The guy was totally uncanny. So you kept saying, you guys are so far behind us. Guys are making nothing but money and over there. And you guys are getting probably a pulse from 6 to 7%. 6 to 7% of their operating cost is probably attributed to the guy, the rest of the zone.
He was right. All the benefits they get, radio, television, session, parking, season tickets and all that, you guys amount to about 7% of the payroll.
I think it's changed.
Now it's where it should be, about 30%.
It's just more
normal business.
Yeah. But how long? You know, it took, what, 60 years to get there.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Well, my pleasure.
I enjoyed talking to you.
You got my, do you have any other questions or anything? You got my toll-free number, give me a holler.
Okay, sure will.
Good luck with it.
Thank you. I hope it's been an education for me.
You going to write it?
Hey, Jeff, watch out, you crazy-ass driver. We're going nowhere. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Get out. All right. Thanks a lot, and take care.
Have any questions at all? If I can do anything, please let me know.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And let me know when it comes out, too.
Yeah, year or two, probably.
Year or two? I hope I get a copy of it.
Everybody was helped.
Great.
Had a lot of help with it.
Anything else I can do? If anything you think of in the meantime, give me a call.
Okay, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Gabe. Thank you.
All righty. Bye. Have a good one.
Thank you.